This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand. 10 years ago today, a genocide began in Rwanda. Nearly a million people were slaughtered in just over 3 months of ethnic strife between that country's Hutu and Tutsi populations. Later, we'll have a report on how Rwanda is faring now. But first, a look back. New Yorker magazine writer Philip Gurevich is the author of We Wish to Inform You That Tomorrow We Will Be Killed With Our Families, a book about the Rwandan genocide. I spoke with him earlier about what led up to the slaughter. Now, many people assume the killing was spontaneous, but it was actually orchestrated by a handful of people. Can you tell us about the masterminds? Who were they? What did they want? And how did they organize the genocide?
There had been, over the years preceding the genocide, a sort of entourage around the Hutu president of extremists who sought to consolidate and maintain their power by promoting the kind of genocidal logic that one heard of unifying the Hutu by exterminating the Tutsi. I mean, that's what one has to understand. That's what they sought to gain by it. And so the people who were in charge were, on one level, they were kind of the classic intellectual, as people use the term there, ideologues, the people who were the chief propagandists, really. Many of them were media personalities. Some of them were clerics. Some of them were kind of classic stump politician types. And you had them and you had military types, the two of them working together so that they were at the edge of legitimate power. They were legitimate power, but they expressed their most extreme views almost in opposition to the president who they served.
Now, the massacres were sparked by the downing of the president's plane by a surface-to-air missile. What happened there? Was the president considered more moderate and therefore opposed by the extremists who had been planning this genocide?
Well, we don't know who assassinated the president, and that is a continuing and perplexing mystery that kind of haunts the whole history of this thing. What we do know is that within a half an hour of the assassination of the president, a sort of coup d'etat took place in Rwanda, where military and civilian political leaders basically took control of the decapitated state and immediately began to implement this program of massacres.
And how do we know it had been so carefully prepared?
Not only was it well prepared, it was basically announced. It had been announced in the sense that there were a lot of documentation of speeches by prominent members of the entourage of people who were planning this thing, saying, you know, the time will come soon when we have days of struggle where we must eliminate the Tutsi. At the same time, the planners of this genocide were writing about it in the newspaper. Basically, a month before the assassination of President Habyarimana, the leading extremist Hutu newspaper, one of the few newspapers that the regime allowed to publish in the country, ran a banner headline that said, President Habyarimana will die in March. Now, this is kind of extraordinary stuff for a newspaper that was actually sponsored by the family of the president.
Now, the massacres ended about 100 days later when the Tutsi rebels gained control. What happened after that?
Close to 2 million people fled the country in mid-July to mid-August of 1994 and were then housed in so-called refugee camps. I mean, I say so-called because they weren't really technically refugees. They were really fugitives, many of them, along the borders of Rwanda. And for the next couple of years, there was enormous tension as these people in these camps, primarily in Zaire, which is now Congo, under Mobutu at the time, rearmed themselves, retrained the young men, and girded themselves to return to Rwanda and, as they said, finish the job. That was the way they spoke. And that finally was what led to the war that overthrew Mobutu, that broke up the refugee camps, in which large numbers, tens of thousands surely, more Rwandans were killed inside Congo, and also ended up meaning that most Rwandans for the first time, really in a long time, in decades, were living inside Rwanda. There was no longer a sizable refugee population outside Rwanda threatening the balance of the country. And since then, what you've seen is a country profoundly traumatized and torn by these experiences, seeking to find some kind of equilibrium again, as one people.
Philip Gurevich is the author of We Wish to Inform You That Tomorrow We Will Be Killed With Our Families, a book about the Rwandan genocide. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.